Yeah, I found myself saying some of those things. You know, the one that you always used to give me when I was younger is, do you think we have stock in the electric company? Or, you know, do you, it's kind of leaving all the lights on. And I thought, I don't know what their problem is. I mean, it's a light bulb. Come on, for goodness sake, can it really cost that much? Now I'm an adult, and you know what? I am like the light switch Nazi in our house. Like, who keeps leaving these lights on? You know, they're not going to turn their self off. I even went so far as one time, I think Drea left her light on. So I took a selfie with her light switch, with me shutting it off, and sent it to her. So, you know. Well, again, happy Father's Day to you. As a matter of fact, one of the things we want to do to just celebrate or to honor you dads is we decided this year we are going to give you, once again, the Happy Father's Day stress ball. So if you're here today, I know that none of you stress, but we will give you a stress ball. I first service went over and gave one to my dad, so I'm not going to give it to him. Give me another dad. I'm seeing, where's Sean at? He's doing the video, isn't he? Miles, there you go. Got yourself a stress ball. When you leave here today, go ahead and grab one of those. We want to put a gift in your hand just to say Happy Father's Day. First service, my dad asked for two of them, but I'm sure that's because of my mom and my sister. So, I love you too. Oh, this morning, it's just good to come and worship the Lord. You know what I wanted to do first of all, if you would help me with this, or if we could do this together, is I wanted to ask if we could just take some time and pray for our children. Our children are leaving for camp tomorrow, so we need to pray for the leaders as well, because they're going to be with your children, our children, and I tell you, it's a great thing. This is a great opportunity for kids to go and hear the love of Jesus, have fun in fellowship. Yeah, they're going to run and have fun, and they're going to get sunburned probably, and they're going to swim, and you hear all that stuff when they talk about camp, but usually what happens is they talk about all the fun, and then eventually they don't realize it, but seeds get planted in their hearts. And I believe that it's our job as the church to go and cultivate that ground. Let's just go in prayer, and I just want to ask that the Lord would just open up the hearts of the kids. Some of them maybe, you know, maybe that's the only week they're hearing that the words, I love you, and getting a hug. Who knows? But I tell you what, we want to pray for them as well as the leaders, that God would just give them wisdom and strength. So can we do that together as we just say, Lord, we come before you and ask that Jesus, as our children get ready to attend this camp, but Lord, I pray that you just go before them now and prepare their hearts and prepare the way. Lord God, I pray for those children who maybe it's even last minute right now and they want to go and they still haven't figured out a way that somehow you're just going to open up that door so they can be there because there's something you want to deposit in their hearts and their lives. Lord, maybe there's some kids that are going and right now they're facing some health issue or they're nervous or scared. Lord, I pray that you would come and just heal their bodies, give them a peace, and that Lord God, as they go there and as they have fun and they fellowship, Lord, we ask that you would deposit in their hearts, Lord, the seed of your great love, your purpose, and your calling for their life. Lord, I pray that you give them a sense of knowing that there's a Father God that loves them. Father, I pray for every leader that goes that you would bless them. Lord, bless them with rest, bless them with health, bless them with wisdom as they hang out with the children. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity to be able to go. So we as a church just say, Lord, speak to our children. Lord God, heal their hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen in agreement to that. Keep them in your prayers this week. We have a kids' camp, and then I think there's a couple weeks, and then our high schoolers go. So we'll be praying for them as well. And please keep Pastor Chris and his family in your prayer. I think he's doing 4 or 5 weeks this summer. He's pretty much going to live at camp for a while. And if you don't remember, Pastor Chris has 5 young children and a wife, so let's keep them in our prayers too. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you. We are really not talking about Soul Man. We did end the series. However, I just like to kind of come back and just talk this morning about now having learned about the keys that we have, now having learned about our souls a little bit more, I hope that each and every one of you have learned something. Would you say that through the series, you know, you've had something that you've learned through this? You know, something deposited, the Holy Spirit's revealed to you. Here's the thing. That's just scratching the surface, really. And there's so much more. But you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. We talked about, you know, how powerful our soul is. Our soul wants what our soul wants. We talked about our spirit, soul, body. And in our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. We talked about what an unsurrendered soul looks like, what a surrendered soul looks like, stronghold thinking, soul ties. We've been all over the gamma of soul just all around there, and we're just barely scratching the surface. So last week we ended the series with using your keys. How many of you were here last week and you received your keychain? Your keys to the kingdom. How many of you were not here? Maybe I should ask that. As you leave here today, ushers will have one of these for you. As we ended the series, I said, we want to purchase for you. It's a keychain, and it just has the church logo. It says Kotod on it, and we want to put that in your hand. And every time you use these keys, what I want you to remember is this, not, ooh, pretty. You know, I hope that you think it's pretty, but I hope you look at it and say, I've got this. I've got the keys to the kingdom of God. And you remember that when you're facing difficult times in life, that there is nothing in this world that can overcome you when you are living as a son or daughter of the Most High God. He has got your back. So what do? Use your keys. So what I want to talk to you about today, and so grab one of those if you did not get one. They'll have them at the doors. Is I want to talk to you about the spiritually mature soul. How do I have a spiritually mature? How do I know if my soul is a man or woman of God? I'm walking in that maturity. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, so you can jump over there. And I will kind of revisit Exodus for just a moment because we kind of talked a little bit about it. I'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But we're going to talk about this. Today, the spiritually mature soul. And then next week, I don't really even know what the title is yet, but what I want to talk to you about is basically not living in the neutral zone, let's call it that. And we're just going to talk, now that we have the keys, okay? I have the keys, say it with me. I have the keys. So if I have the keys that open the doors to doors that were locked, all it's going to require me to do is use my keys, right? If this door is locked, I have the key, and I look at the door, and the doorknob's locked. What is it going to take to get that door open? Do I osmosis think it open? No, that's not going to work. Can I just wish it open? That's not going to work. Can I pray it opens? Well, sure, you can pray it opens, but probably won't. Especially since he said, the keys are in your pocket. Use those. So you got to pull these keys out and use them. So how do I know when I'm walking in that maturing process? And here it is, cooperating with what God has given me already. Most of us are praying for things, asking, seeking things that God has already given to us. He's saying, just use the keys that I gave you. You don't need me to come down there and rearrange everything. Use your keys and start doing it yourself. I've given you all the power and the authority. So we have to learn to use our keys. Now let me first start with a little clarification. As we've already said, we have the keys, so now, just because we have the keys does not mean that we have the right to use these keys whenever or wherever we want. Okay? Now, you just spent how many months, Pastor, telling us, I got the keys to the kingdom and I can bind this and I can loose that. And, you know, I got the authority, I got the power, so to speak. But just because you have the keys to the kingdom doesn't mean that you can go binding and loosing anything and everything that you want. There's an authority and a power that God has given. Let me put it to you this way. I have, they were in my pocket, I have in my office a set of keys. How many of you guys have a set of keys on you? They, you know, in your purse, in your pocket. And on that key ring, I have a key to my house. I have a key to the church. I have probably three keys. I don't know what they're there for. But I feel really important because I have a bunch of keys, you know. And I'm always whittling out the keys. I'm like, I never use that. And isn't it always the same? You get rid of a key you never use, and as soon as you do, that's the key that you needed. So frustrating. And the key that I have that opens my house is my key to open my house. Let me put it this way. When I say the keys that we have are not for us to use just anywhere, whatever time. Let's say that I want to come to your house. Your door's locked. It's 2 a.m. So I pull out my house key, and I try to open your door. How are you going to feel about that? You're dead asleep, and all of a sudden somebody's rattling your doorknob, and you're wondering what's going on. It's got that little saw motion because I'm trying to jam my key into your door lock, and you come down, and you know it's an intruder, and you're ready to maybe point a gun at me or something. You open the door, and you go, Pastor Jim, what are you doing? I say, well, I just wanted to come visit. I mean, I've got the keys, right? No, I've got my keys to my kingdom, my house. You've got keys for your kingdom, your house, and just because I have keys doesn't give me the right to go into your kingdom and try to rearrange or do whatever it is I want to do. Follow me so far? Okay. So it is spiritually that God has given us authority to go and to do mighty things in His name. Yes, we can declare this ground for Jesus. Yes, we can pray for others and speak blessings, but we can't go, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, in the realm of soul ties where people have made wrong agreements that we may notice, we can't go using our keys, breaking soul ties between people that we're not even involved in, because that's not our king. That's not our responsibility. We have to be careful how we use these keys. See, if I'm going to have keys for my kingdom, if I think I can use them on anything else, if I try to use them on your house, if I try to use my keys in your car, if I try to use my keys to get into your business, you're probably going to have a problem with that. I'll be riding in the back seat of a squad car. Why? Because we call that breaking and entering, okay? You're crossing a boundary of something that you're not responsible for or does not belong to you, and therefore there are consequences that come because of that. Now, what does that have to do with spiritual maturity? Moses understood the keys that he had. Remember Moses, we said last week in Exodus chapter 17, it says that Moses was facing an enemy by the name of the Amalekites. Do you remember that? Okay, and Amalekites, they were some bad dudes. I mean, there was a lot of them. They were the biggest, the baddest, they had the most. And Moses didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew that he had the keys. And he said, here's what we're going to do. Here's what's going to happen, because we're facing an enemy that seems to be overwhelming us, and they're giving us problems. Do you have anybody in your life right now that is giving you problems? If they're sitting next to you, don't look at them. Do you have anything in your life that you are struggling with? Somebody, something is battling you. Something is fighting you. Something is resisting you. Wishing upon a star is not going to do anything. You have to use your keys. God has given them to you and to me. Now, that's exactly what's happening here. The Amalekites, they're causing problems for God's people, and they're going, how are we going to experience some victory? How are we going to get any victory in our life? And maybe you felt the same way. How am I ever going to experience some victory in my life? How am I ever going to get past this addiction? How are we ever going to get through this marital problem? How are we ever going to get this business launched? You know, many times we get stuck because we're using the wrong keys. We're trying to fix it on our own strength rather than seeking the Lord. You ever have the fix-it mentality? I know I have. There's many times, Lisa, when we were first married, she'd come home and she'd share about her day, and if there was a problem, I've already got the answer. I'm just trying to wait for her to stop talking so I can tell her how to fix it. Sometimes I didn't even wait for her to stop talking, and I just jump in and be rude and interrupt her. And I had to learn that she didn't even want me to fix it. She just wanted me to listen. To which when I was young and immature, I was like, that's a waste of time. I got better things to do, right? Now, I don't mean that to be rude, but that was just my immature thought process at that time. I had to learn that in relationships, you don't do all the talking. You got to learn to listen, too. You got to learn to hear. And that was quite a lesson. It took a long time for me to learn that one, because us Mechans like to talk. And when I learned to do that, then all of a sudden there's a maturing process that took place. But you know, I always tried to fix it. I always wanted to fix it. Well, just do that. Just do that. We'll tell her this. We'll tell them that. Well, then don't go back there. Well, quit your job. You know, I always had an answer. But my answers were only temporary. They were only temporary. And what you have to do is you can't have a fix-it mentality. The keys to the kingdom aren't about what can you fix. It's about how you go to your Savior and say, Lord, what do you have to say about this? That's the kingdom focus and mentality. So, Moses understood these keys. And it says he went up to the mountaintop and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to the top and I'm going to pray. I want you guys to stay down here and fight. Which I'm sure those guys were like, oh yeah, sure, you're going to go pray while we fight. I get it, you know. But see, he understood the spiritual authority that came with this, where the others did not. And he went up, and it says that he went up with a few up there. He took his staff with him. And the staff represented, by the way, says that Moses took his staff with him up to the mountain. That staff represented the presence and the power of God. You see, if you want to see the kingdom of God move in your life, don't be looking to yourself or others. Be looking for the power and the presence of God in your life. If you want to see God's answer to something, a problem, whatever it is that you're going through, then you need to be in His presence and see His power move in your life. And that's how you mature in the process of spiritual maturity. So Moses went up, and we learned last week, and we're going to kind of fly by it next week, but anytime he held his staff up, he gained victory, right? When he dropped his arms, defeat. Hands up, victory. Hands down, defeat. Problem is When you have your hands up, we could do that. We could sit here and hold our Bible out like this and say, that's nothing. Do that for 3 hours. What's going to happen? Your arm's going to go, it's going to get sore. And he had to have somebody come and help him lift his arms up. See, he understood that there needed to be a stretching out to God in order to actualize the victory that was taking place here on earth. And I'll leave that for now, and we'll get to that next week. The point is that Moses understood his keys, and there was a maturing process because he actualized, he understood what God was saying, that he needed to be separated and seek the Lord, because if there's not a stretching out to God, then you simply waste your time. We must be stretching out to God. Some of us here today, the answer you're looking for, God's already given it to you. He just wants you to stretch out and get it. He wants you to reach out to him. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray for 3 hours. Me either. But he didn't say pray for 3 hours. He said simply stretch out, reach out to me, call out to me, spend a little time with me, spend a time and build a pattern of spending time with God. You know, God's not all about you becoming uber religious and throwing yourself in an actual closet and staying there in the dark for 6 hours. He wants you to just say, he says, give me a slice of your life. Just spend some of this time with me. And you'll build that relationship. That's something we're going to be hitting on when we go into the Sabbath series and the emotional health. But that's part of the maturing process. You might say, well, Pastor, I thought I was maturing, you know, I thought I was growing, and you probably are. I mean, you'd say, hey, Pastor, I was 9 years old. I'm now 49 years old, okay? I am maturing. Yes, you are. You are growing. We are each and every time that clock ticks, getting just a little bit older, right? There's always a maturing process that takes place. And though that's true, that's part of maturing. Let's take a look at how it's defined according to Webster. Here's what Webster says. He says, maturing is having completed natural growth and development. Okay, that makes sense. He also says maturity is mature fruit. If you look in Webster, it says it means mature fruit. It also says having attained a final or desired state. What does it mean, and how do we know that when we're growing in our walk with Christ, it means that we're maturing? But I want to kind of just show the difference between maturing, first of all, and then spiritual maturity. Maturing includes growth. It tells us that right there. Having a completed natural growth and development. But then it says mature fruit. In other words, it's not saying like the oldest fruit is the best fruit. It's saying mature. In other words, have you ever gone to the supermarket and you go to the produce section to go buy some groceries? And when you go through there, what do? When you're looking for that? Do you just grab some bananas and say, I don't care, whatever, throw them in. Grapes, there you go. Apples, don't even look at what kind of label or what kind of brand. You know, what do when you go to the produce section? You go through and you inspect them, don't you? You look at them. And if you're with my dad, you're there an extra 20 minutes looking at them grapes. You know, he's looking at each and every little grape, you know. Why do we do that? Because we want mature fruit. Now, you might not have thought of it this way. You're just like, I just wanted some grapes, so I bought some grapes. But when you went there and bought the grapes, you didn't buy the nastiest, oldest, most shriveled grapes. You scanned quickly. It's probably unconscious, but looking somewhere for the best batch of grapes that's the most appealing to the eye, that look the most mature to you. Because the more mature the fruit is, the better the fruit is going to taste. As a matter of fact, what some of us do is this. We don't even just buy the most mature fruit. We buy ones that are almost mature. You know what I mean? Like, they're just still a little ripe, but by the time I buy them and get them home and feel like eating them in 2 days, bam, they're going to be ready. And they're just going to pop in my mouth when I eat them, and it's going to be all good. But how many times have you bought fruit that looks so great on the outside, and 3 weeks later, you forgot about them, and they're still sitting in the tray in your fridge or in that little pretty little designer thing that and now you got this all shriveled up, you know, you got 16 fruit flies on it, and it's just dying in a pile. What happened? Your mature fruit expired. You see, maturing processes have to do with about timing as well. You don't want to miss the timing that God has for you. Do you know this time goes very fast? You know, people have always said this. Hey, when they talk to me as Jimmy, they'd be like, Jimmy, you're growing so fast. Yeah, but not fast enough. Come on. I want to get on with my life. I want to grow up. I want to be an adult. Now I'm like, whoa, horsey, slow down. Because they said, as you get older, time goes faster. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. now I'm at the age where I'm starting to go, huh, they knew what they were talking about. It really does go faster. Before you know it, kids are graduating, they're heading to college, they're going to get married, they're going to have kids, and I'll be like, I don't even know what the next is, and I don't even want to think that far ahead. But time goes fast. The question is not how can we stop time, but how can we find God's timing in the time that He's allotted to us and mature with His process. That's what it's all about. You see, when farmers harvest a field, they wait for the right time, right? Is there any farmers here today? You can help me out here, farmer. Uno, dos. Okay. That was Spanish. Did I impress you? About as far as I can go, too. I think I can hit cuatro, cinco, and I'm done. But I know how to say taco and burrito. But farmers, I'm not a farmer, but my observation is simply this, and you guys knew that. Farmers, when they get ready to harvest a field, they don't just go harvest the field willy-nilly whenever they feel like it, do you? You got to wait for the right time. You know, you go out there and you plant the seeds, and now it doesn't matter what kind of a farmer you are. You could be we're in Iowa, so you got a lot of corn, you got a lot of wheat, you got soybean, you know, but if you were over, you know, we visited over in Hawaii at the time, there's pineapple that's growing over there. It doesn't really matter from one realm to another. One thing is true. You don't harvest the field until it is ready. And you as a farmer know when that is. You don't harvest the field until the time is right. So, corn farmers, let's just use for example, you plant some corn one day, 3 weeks later, you don't sit at home and go, man, I'm bored. You want to go harvest the field? And you go jump on your tractors and go out there and harvest it 3 weeks. Well, that would be crazy, right? Because why? Because you're not given the seed any time to dig into the ground to be able to die off and start to grow roots and grow to the ground and come to fruition. There is a timing that you have to agree with. Now, as much as I shared that story and you went, well, duh, Pastor. Everyone knows you got to wait till the corn grows up, turns all brown and shrivelly, and then those big combines go by. You know, I don't know anything about farming. But as a farmer, you know when that time is right. And we understand the philosophy, so to speak, of waiting for that right time to harvest the field. So it is, and we must understand that if farmers understand how to read those signs and understand that there's a maturing process and you have to cooperate with that which you have, that time and that land that you have, so we must cooperate with the time that God has given to us. If we're going to be people who understand how to use our keys, we must mature in our walk as we walk out this life, looking to God and seeking Him for the answers. Remember, we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Did you get that? Were you like, we knew that, Pastor? Okay. And I hope that's the truth, but never forget it. And here's why. We are not, because here's what happens. If you have a human being mentality, I am a human being, and I'm just having a spiritual experience. Well, what kind of a spiritual experience are you having? Because there's a lot of spirits you can experience, right? And they're not all good. Some come out of bottles. Some come out of books. Some come out of God knows where, and we don't even want to go there. What we're talking about is experiencing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who said that He is our Savior, our Provider, and our Redeemer. He says, you are a spiritual being. We talked about this already. Genesis 1:27. We are spiritual beings. And if you ever lose focus of that, then what happens is this. If you don't keep that in perspective, you and I will never use our keys. We'll never use our keys. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. God tosses them to us. And we're like, I've got the keys. We just kind of put them in our pocket. And then we go experience life, and we run into hard times. We have situations we don't know what to do, and God goes, get your keys out. We're like, oh yeah, I got the keys, right? Yep, they're still there. But we never pull them out and use them. If we never actualize what it is that God has verbalized, we will stay stuck because we lose sight of the fact that we are first and foremost spiritual beings, not physical beings. So, some of you, by the way, have matured according to the definition of Webster, within the last month. You guys have graduated high school. What does that mean? It means that I have come to a place where I have ended one season in my life, I've reached a destination, but does that mean that you have arrived now? Well, when I was in high school, I thought it did. Once I got past 12th grade, I'm done. I'll never have to go to school again. Guess what? I've been in school like almost all my life. Maturity is not about a destination. It's about a process. Maturity is not a noun. It's a verb. It's something that is always in action. And as you graduates, we celebrate with you and we want to honor you, but you're just moving from one season into another now. Maybe some of you are here and you're adults and you're like, hey, I've come to an end of a season and I'm going on to a new one education-wise. Then bravo, but don't stop. Keep on going. Keep learning. Keep maturing. You must keep doing that. So we have to, the purpose of maturing is we take what we learned and use it to propel not just ourselves but others with us into a deeper understanding. But what's spiritual maturity? Now, write this down. It's in your outlines. This is a Jim Machen definition, so don't Google it because you won't find it. I don't think. But spiritual maturity is the process of saying yes to God and no to the world and desiring to be more like Christ. Maturity is, yes, growing. Maturity is, yes, becoming older. Maturity is, yes, looking for that timing to cooperate with. But spiritual maturity says nothing short of what Jesus has for me. It's saying yes to God and no to the world and saying I desire nothing less than what it is that God has for my life. Does that mean you'll be perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean I'll always be right? Nope, probably not. You'll probably make some mistakes. But when you make a mistake, because you desire to be so much like Christ, you will recalibrate immediately or as close to immediate as you can. See, that's what spiritual maturity is. It's about feeding yourself spiritually, constantly having an avenue there. So spiritual maturity is a process that gives you the victory. Spiritual maturity gives you the victory upstairs in heaven so you can experience it downstairs here on earth, right? As we use our keys. So spiritual maturity, I like this. Write this down in your outlines. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how high you jump in praise, but how straight you walk in obedience. That's what spiritual maturity is about. That's what it means to use your keys. It means not, you know, hey, how many keys do I have? 35 keys, you only got 12 keys, I'm more important. It's not about importance. Now, our world is about that. We're all caught up in self-importance. But he says, I'm not focusing on that. I'm not worried about that. What I want to know is are you obeying? If you want to know, here's a little test. If you want to know how you are doing or where you are at in this maturing process, am I spiritually mature? Then you can simply do this. What's the last thing the Lord told you to do? What's the last thing? Think about that for a moment if you need to. What's the last thing? Because I can remember the last thing the Lord told me to do. Now here's the test. Have you done it? Because I can think of one thing right now the Lord told me to do that I haven't done yet that I've got to do. Am I a loser? Am I a failure? No. I just haven't obeyed yet, but I will. So, am I a spiritually mature Christian because I've now recognized that I haven't obeyed yet and I need to? No. What happens is you become mature as you actualize what God verbalized, as you do it. Obedience is not claiming or stating that you need to do it. Obedience is actually doing it. Yeah, you guys know this, remember? Yeah. Y'all have kids? Clean your room. Okay, mom and dad. But their okay didn't sweeten my tea right there. What did? When they actually went and cleaned it and picked up the clothes and took their laundry down. See, that's where obedience meets us at. So we have to understand, good grief, it's already quarter till, isn't it? We have to understand that God has given us the keys so we can be free indeed. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. It talks to us about, most of us, when we say 1 Corinthians 13, what do you think of? We think of love, right? The love chapter. Valentine's Day. But I want to just draw out of there an important part that as I was studying and listening about our responsibilities, Paul is talking about what love is and what love is not. Okay? And he says, this is Paul talking, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I put verses 1 through 13, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to jump down to verse 10. Verse 10 says this, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. He says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let me stop right there, because that's as far as we're going to go with the scripture. In our world today, there's many systems that are functioning. We all function within a family system that we grew up in. All of us have a family system that functions in the family that we are now raising. In your work environment, there's a system that happens, probably here in your church. There's always these systems. The question is going to be, when God reveals to you what it is He needs to reveal to you, are you going to be willing to step out of some system that He's not called you to be in to obey Him? Or are you going to be more concerned about keeping the system, keeping the peace, keeping things going? Because it's going to take a mature person to hear what God has to say and then do something with what it is that He has now said. Spiritual maturity or spiritually mature souls are going to have three things that you'll see, and we just read them, but I'm going to give them to you real quickly. Number one, write this down. A spiritually mature person, man or woman of God, changes their vocabulary. Changes their vocabulary. When you have the keys to the kingdom and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, it doesn't mean that you are perfect. It means you are in a perfecting process. When you were a child and you spoke as a child, it was okay. Why? Because I was a child. My son and my daughter, one of the things that was always cute and I enjoyed was when they were children, when they were real young, they couldn't always, you know, when they're learning to talk, they don't always get the words perfect. And so one of the things Seth would do is he'd mix up, and instead of toothpaste, it would be pooth-taste. And instead of toothpicks, it would be pooth-ticks. And he couldn't say thumb, he said fum. And you know what? That was cute. He'd be like, and we'd even ask him. I mean, we set him up as parents, because he'd suck his thumb, and we'd be like, hey, what are you putting in your mouth? He'd be like, my thumb, you know. And we'd be like, oh, isn't that so cute? We'd look at each other and grin and laugh. Hey, Seth, I'm sorry, what is that? What is that right there? My thumb. He kept looking at us like, are these people idiots or what? I've told them 10 times. But we loved hearing him say, thumb, thumb, thumb. I need to brush my teeth. What do you brush your teeth with? Pooth-taste. You know, what do you pick your teeth with? Pooth-tick. And we kept just messing with his head because we can do that. And we love it. But when he was a child, he spoke that way. And that was okay. You know why? Because he was a child. He's not a child anymore. He's a man. Whew, that just hit me. He's a man. And he's in high school. He's going into a sophomore year. He's working a job. And I'm guessing here. I'm just guessing. But I don't think they're going to be okay with him where he works at if he grabs the microphone and says, I need a price check on some pooth taste. And somebody pick up the pooth ticks in aisle 3. That's not going to work. Why? Because it was cute when he was a kid, but it's not cute when he's an adult. I can tell him, and we eventually had to work on it. No, it's not pooth taste. It's toothpaste. Say it with me. Toothpaste. Pooth taste. No. Toothpaste. It's not your thumb. It's your thumb. No, thumb. No, thumb. No, thumb. No, thumb. And we went back and forth. Why did we do that? Why were we ruining that cuteness? Because we wanted him to grow. You know, sometimes we don't get where God wants us to be because we don't want him to ruin the cuteness of what we think we have. But what you think is cute may be so when you were a child. But I have the keys. Say it with me. I have the keys. You're maturing. Those things that were once cute aren't cute any longer. And they will point out your immaturity real quick. See, when you were a child and you spoke as a child, it was okay because you were a child. But now as we grow in our walk with Christ, we have to understand that there's something that He's going to do. He's going to change our vocabulary. Oh, what do you mean? Like, I shouldn't cuss anymore? Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. Yeah, no, you shouldn't be cussing. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about deep down in your soul, a vocabulary that changes because of a passion that's taking place inside of your heart. There's something that's happening and changing. And you may have spoken as a child when you were a child, but now you will speak in a different way because you will be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and you'll be speaking what it is He has to say. Not just what you have to say. Because I don't know about you, I found out all the stuff that I have to say, as great as sometimes I think I am, is not very wise. I make mistakes. How about you? You ever make any mistakes? Yeah, we all make mistakes. So what do we need to know? We need to know how to hear His voice and let Him change our vocabulary. Number two, a spiritually mature soul seeks and gains understanding. 1 Corinthians said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. You see, so many times we lack the understanding that God is desiring to bring into our life. He wants to reveal to us something fresh and something new. You know what that's called? He wants to mature us spiritually. You know, one of the great opportunities I have with doing the chaplaincy in our community is I get to ride with the cops, and then I get to go up to the jail and visit people. And it was a crazy week last week. All of a sudden, within the last 3 weeks, I've had seven people who have called from the jail that want to see me. I'm like, seven people? That's a lot of people, by the way. And so what an honor it is to be able to go and to share with them. And I sit down with them, and they're sitting in jail. They're looking at me through this wire window kind of thing, and they all want to know the same thing. What have I done? How have I got here, and how can I get out? That's what they want to know. And what a great honor. You know what I tell them? I tell them this. First of all, I say, and I mean it with all honesty, I was not a perfect person, which many of you would probably be saying, amen, we know. But the only reason, and I tell them, I say, you know what? Relax, because the only reason you're sitting there and I'm not is because I just simply didn't get caught sometimes doing some stupid things, okay? So we level the playing ground. And then they say, I don't understand why I keep coming back here. And I tell them this. And it's really cool, because it's the same thing that we've been talking about. I said three things. I said, you're a spiritual being, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And they go, huh? And they look at me like I have three noses. They're like, check, please, I'm done with this chaplain. But they usually say, you know, I ask them, can I tell you this? Can I share something with you? And they're like, yeah, I got nowhere else to go. Okay. You're a spiritual being. You have a soul and you live in a body. They're like, what are you talking about? And then I go through and I talk to them just quickly what we've been talking about, learning about their soul. And when we end it with, the thing is there's a maturing process that God wants to do in your life. You and I, we're no different. You know, we have this mentality that says, there's a lot of bad people locked up in jail. And that is true, there are. But there's a lot of good people that are locked up there too. They just made a mistake. Can I kind of flip that just a little bit? There's a lot of bad people that are walking around free right now. It's not about good and bad, and did we create an image or a persona so we didn't get caught? It's about making things right in here. It's about the inside. It's about spiritual maturity. He says, not am I maturing on the outside, and am I growing in a different waist size and shoe size? Are you growing on the inside? Is there anything happening in there? Because there's not a difference. When God looks at each and every one of us, He sees His sons and His daughters. He doesn't see black and white. He doesn't see ones that are imprisoned or not. What He sees is children that He loves, and He says, I want to set you all free. So here, I'm giving you the keys. Now, what do we do that we have them? We have to cooperate with His maturing process. How do we do that? Well, when you were a child, you spoke as a child. That was okay. But now it's time to change the way that you speak. Let Him change your vocabulary. When I was young, I understood this way. When I was young, I loved music. I love music. I like a lot of different genre of music. I like, there's only a couple that I don't like, and it's really irrelevant, but I like country music. I like 80s music. I like Michael Bublé and all that. I like the 50s Rat Pack kind of music. I love the part of the 70s, CCR. Any CCR fans, you know? Creedence Clearwater Revival. Different groups. I'm all fine with that, because when I think of music, I kind of attach, you know, just have kind of enjoy that. When I was growing up and I was young, I the rule in our house was if I wanted to listen or have a song, I had to run it by my dad. He had to listen to it first. I'm like, fine. And one of the songs that I got the stress ball out. Ushers, can we have three more of those in the front row? I loved this group in the 80s by the name of Prince. You know, Prince and the Revolution. Purple Rain, loved the album. Let's go crazy. Anyway, one of the songs I loved was When Doves Cry. I'm like, this is an awesome song. You know why I thought it was awesome? It's because it's singing about a bunch of birds. And that's all I could hear. So I took to my dad. I said, Dad, listen to this song, When Doves Cry. And my dad had this funny look on his face the whole time he's listening to it. I'm like, man, you are old. You don't get this stuff, do you? You know, this is young and hip, and this is the way we... And then he said, no, he said, I want you to listen to that song. I'm like, why not? It's about a bunch of dumb birds. And he said, I'm not going to go into it all here right now. But the point was, as he explained, he said, Jim, they're not talking about birds. He said, doves represent purity. And Prince is singing about how he wants to take that purity away from someone. And when he said that, I went, it's like a veil opened up. And I went, huh, thank you for ruining that song for me. Now I can't ever hear that stupid song on the radio and go, hear my dad over there going. But how many of us need a father that's willing to tell you the truth? So when a song pops up in your heart and you're like, let's go crazy, you got your phone. Now, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. But your father, if he's a good father, will go, mm-mm, no. And at times he'll go, there you go. You know, I told you I love music. There's a lot of music I love from the past that I've had to check in my heart. Why? Because when I understood as a child, I didn't care. I did go crazy. But as I matured, now I look back, and there's some music I just can't allow in my life now. There's some music. Why? Because it's not just about the song that you sing, but it's about the spirit behind the song that's trying to enter into the realm of your heart and into your life. You open up a door, unbeknownst to you, that all of a sudden when you start singing Let's Go Crazy, you wonder why 5 years down the road, your life is crazy. I'm not saying that it's always, you know, you lean on this whole the devil made me do it type of thing. I'm just saying that you can appreciate music, but you better have boundaries for that, because what happens is if you don't, you're still understanding as a child. Wanting to be mature, saying, God, why don't you trust me? But he says, because you're still here. Here's the good news. If you're still here, God says, you can do something about this. Use your keys. So all of you that are about 20 and younger, and your parents are not going to give you a hard time about the music you've been listening to, I'm sorry. Don't punch me afterwards. A mature soul seeks and gains understanding. Number three, a spiritually mature soul is transformed in their thought life. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. What we do when we're young and immature is in our thinking, and I'm not throwing rocks, I've done the same thing, but we're trying to make it work. We face difficult situations, and sometimes we stay stuck in life because we have used or thought in such a way, come up with an explanation or a reason for why things are going so bad. And we actually open up the door and introduce ourselves to things like addictions. All it is pain management. We look at the things we look at, we smoke or drink the things that we smoke or drink, not because it's so, ooh, this is so fun. It's we're managing something that's going on, and then it becomes an addiction. And in our mind and in our thought life, we associate that this brought me some sense of peace in a difficult time, that even though that season passed, the addiction still remains, let's say. Why? Because in our mind, it still brings us some peace, and we stay stuck. Now, that's just a simple scenario, kind of painting a picture. About to go a little bit deeper, though. All of a sudden, we can see how we start staying stuck in areas because we don't let God transform our minds. We still think, if somebody has hurt us, maybe it's a dad that abused you. Not all men are bad, right? No, not all men are bad. What your dad did was bad, and there needs to be some healing, but it doesn't make all men bad. But we associate that. God wants to transform your mind in that area to show you what a good father he is. But when you're young, you think as a child. You know, I I'm picking on my kids today, but it's Father's Day, right? And that means absolutely nothing. I'm just throwing that out of the air. But I remember when Seth was young and he wanted some something, and Dad pays for it. Mom and Dad pay for it, right? And we started using this phrase once he got a little bit of money. He says, hey, I want to get that. And we say, you going to use your money? No. I said, but you want to use mine? Yeah. Why? Because it won't cost him anything, but it will cost me. And I remember at a young age, we needed to go get something, and he said, well, why don't you just pull up to one of those, you know, magic boxes or whatever? And I said, magic box? What are you talking about? I don't even know if that's what he called it, but something like that. I said, what are you talking about, magic box? And he goes, the thing you pull up to, and you just punch in a bunch of numbers, and it shoots money out at you. And I'm like, the ATM? And he goes, I don't know, whatever it is. But you see, in his young state of mind, at that time, 14. No, I'm just kidding. That was good. I like that. I'll pay for it later, but told you my boy's become a man. In his young mind, he said, all you have to do is pull up and like slip a card in there and punch a bunch of magical numbers and voila, cash comes out. Wouldn't that be awesome if that's the way life really works? You just, you know, $1,000 comes out and thank you. You know, you didn't have to put the 1,000 in. You just pushed in the magical numbers and the money shot out, right? That would be awesome. But that's not the way it works. And I realized, oh, that's all he's ever seen is mom and dad pull up to an ATM machine, do some little magic over here, money comes out. Why would he think any different? And so we educated him on the fact that all of a sudden, now you have to put money in. And the money that you put in, you can't take more out than what you put in, or you'll be paying more. They'll fine you. This is not their money, it's our money. They're just holding it, and we went through that process. But at a young age, that was his thought process. Now he has become a man. My 15, going to be 16 next week, your old boy has got a job, he's making money, and so we told him, we said, with our kids, we said, here's the deal. Tithe, save, spend. They've heard me say this, I don't know how many times. Tithe, save, spend. Oh, yeah, okay, Dad, I'll do that. And it's easy to give lip service when you don't have the paycheck in your hand. But as soon as you get the paycheck in your hand, tithe, save, spend. Oh, you were serious about that? Yeah, I was serious about that. Tithe, save, spend. Have you tithed yet? That means no, that look right there. Tithe, save, spend. Dad, I want to buy some new shoes. Did you tithe? Did you save? And he goes, yeah, I did. I said, really? You tithe? Mm-hmm. You save, put in things? Mm-hmm. Your money, spend. He started learning something. Why? Because he decided to mature along the way. You and I learn these same lessons as we go, so it is spiritually. Yeah, how many times have you gone to God willy-nilly and treated this like it was a magic machine and said, oh, dear Jesus, in the name of God, boom, I need this verse. And we, you know, you can't just pull stuff out like that. God wants a relationship with you. Now, is his word alive and sharper than any two-edged sword and can speak to you in your time of need? Absolutely. But it's not a magic box that you simply just start yanking verses out of context so they can fit your need, so you can feel good about staying where you're at, unwilling to change. You have to be willing to go before the Father and say, God, let your word, and this has to be a process, let your word speak to me. That's why I encourage you to get into the Word of God. That's why I encourage journaling. That's why we are encouraging OSL. That's why we're going to be talking about some other things called EHS. We're going to be talking about ways that we can get involved in feeding ourselves spiritually so we can mature in our walk with Christ. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. But then it goes on to say, but when I became a man, things changed. When I became a man, when I took my keys out, when I used the keys of the kingdom that God gave me the way he designed me to, then I put away childish things. You know, I'm not here to throw rocks at anybody. I'm not here. I'm no judge. I've got childish things that still creep up in my life. I got times when sometimes, whether it be in my family or here at the church or just in the supermarket, something can push my button and bring up a kind of a childish response. Sometimes I'm embarrassed by that, and I try to pretend like it didn't happen, but it doesn't change the fact that it did. Some people believe this. Simply this way. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. The problem is that we are not to put away childish things and then become a man or a woman of God. He says, become a man or a woman of God and then put away those childish things. Don't wait until your life's perfect, in other words, and say, well, once I get the right amount of money and once I get everything perfect in my life and once my armpits smell good and my hair is always perfect and life is just like a bouquet of roses, then I will use my keys. God says, no, that's not the way it works. Paul is the one that's speaking. It is Paul that said, I became a man. He said, I laid down those childish things. He said, I became a man still having issues to deal with in my life. You have the choice today to use these keys and mature in your walk with Christ, because the systems that you're in, whether it be family or whatever, God wants to know, are you ready to obey what it is that he has to say to you and to me? Don't wait till you're perfect. Use your keys now. And you'll find that they will work in an imperfect world. What worked then in your life in that childish realm won't work now in this more mature life. The question is simply this. Are you carrying weights that you've never been designed to carry? You know, you and I are bigger than anything in this world that we face when we've got God on our side. Amen? Amen. But sometimes we lose that perspective. So the question is when we're facing difficult situations, difficult systems, sometimes we treat the system that of the world that we live in like it's greater than anything else. What God wants to know is, are you going to be more loyal to the system or loyal to Him? Are you carrying those weights you weren't designed to carry? Are you being a victim, in having this victim mentality in your life, only to discover the one that's victimizing you is you? See, God wants you to get your keys out and set you free. This is a process. It's a maturing process. So I pray that as you use your keys, you know that you have everything that you need. You have the keys. And He wants to take you from one realm to another, and it's called maturing. Amen? Father, I thank You that as we walk with You, as we talk with You, as we spend time with You in Your presence, that, Father God, You have a desire and a plan for us, and it's not one to just let us get by, but it's one where You desire us to grow. You want us to mature. You want us to develop, Lord God. That is a natural thing, but Lord, too many times we've not cared about wanting the natural or the supernatural process of maturing and growing in a walk with You. Father, forgive us. Lord, we just repent and say, Father, forgive us for those times where we made it all about us. So Jesus, I pray today that You will allow us to have the victory through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray today that You will set us free, that we may have the keys. So I declare today for each and every person that as we use our keys, You will give us the victory in Jesus' name. And as we walk this out, Lord, we ask that You'd fill us with Your Spirit. We ask. We love You, Jesus. And ask all things in Your name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Happy Father's Day once again to you dads. I kept you an extra 10 minutes, so that means you get an extra 10 minutes to your Father's Day, right? Yeah, good luck with that. God bless you. Love you. You're dismissed.